This is a segment from The Annex, an academic sociology-themed podcast. For more, visit us on the web at theannexpodcast.com. I want to talk about regulating language and the banned words from Health and Human Services. The Trump administration has banned the use of certain words in official documents from Health and Human Services. And
Do you want me to let you tell the wrong story in completion and then correct you, or do you want me to jump in?
No, just jump in.
It wasn't the Trump administration. It was career civil servants. And there were no political appointees involved in this meeting about style, writing style.
Okay. You mean to tell me that, you know, run-of-the-mill civil servants were like, we have to ban the word fetus and transgender with no consideration of political
policy? Well, banned from what? Do you know from what they were discouraging the usage of those terms?
I read it was in all official documents.
No, it's not in like research reports or anything like that. It's not in, you know, that if the CDC writes a white paper on preventing influenza that you can't use the term fetus or whatever. It's specifically in documents that are intended to be read by Congress.
Okay.
So in
So that's not important.
Well, it's important, but I'm saying in the scientific, quasi-scientific documents, the scientists can talk however they like. In the budget justifications that they send to Congress, the career civil servants decided that it would make more sense to not use terms that they thought might alienate members of Congress.
How crazy is that, right? So you can't use the words vulnerable. You can't use the word diversity. You can't use evidence-based.
Okay, so there were, wait. Evidence-based does not mean that they don't want to say evidence-based because they think that, you know, you should just be going on what it says in the Bible.
I totally get that. Evidence-based,
but they want, here's what it says in the New York Times. Instead of evidence-based, the style guide suggested the CDC bases its recommendations on science in consideration with community standards and wishes. So they're not saying basically the reason that they said not to use evidence-based is they thought it had become a meaningless buzzword that was overused. Like, you know, people would say paradigm or disrupt, you know, so like imagine that you're writing a business prospectus and they tell you don't use the word disrupt or disruptive in this. It's not because they don't think there's such a thing as disruptive innovation. It's because it's become a cliche that fetus. People overuse well beyond its applicability.
Like, transgender? Yeah. Gabe, this does not make sense. Okay,
there's two separate issues. So one was the things that they thought had become cliches and buzzwords and were overused and people were using them without thinking about them. And that was things like evidence-based. And then the other were things like transgender and fetus, where they wanted to make sure that they weren't pissing off members of Congress. Specifically in documents that were intended for being read by Congress.
Okay, so like,
you can still say transgender in a research report.
Oh, I get that. So here's the thing. So evidence-based and science-based, those are both buzzwords that people don't understand what it means, like, or they're cliche.
To describe it as they're cliches.
That's just that. So is that why diversity isn't put in there? Because that's a cliche?
Yes, it was on the same list. Diversity and evidence-based were on the same list in terms of they were cliches. People use them without thinking. And they said that the CDC high-level career civil servants said that if you want to convey that idea, don't just throw it in there. But, you know, explain what you mean in other wording so that it's clear what you mean and it's not just like a buzzword that you're throwing in, like throwing salt into the soup.
Gabriel, this sounds like a National Review sort of explain away of a ridiculous policy.
Well,
like
I have in front of me two pieces of paper I printed out. One is, in fact, from National Review and from you, who I told you guys was good last week.
All right.
And
yes,
and
you did.
And number two is from the New York Times.
Okay.
Yeah,
and the National Review and the New York Times agree on this. That basically it was about career civil servants coming up with a style guide for documents relating to Congress, and There were several words that they basically said, let's not alienate Congress by making them think we're a politicized agency. You could still do, and then the B, let's not use cliches, but it has nothing to do with the actual research product.
Okay, well, first of all,
you can still say anything you
wasn't
like.
That was my understanding, though, is that was sent out by a Trump appointee. Right?
No, and not according to New York Times.
Well, you know what? We put it up.
And not according to National Review, if you care if you trust that or not. But I'm saying both of them. And by the way, National Review is not exactly a Trumpist journal, right? I mean, they famously.
Yeah, but it's a partisan Republican one.
That is true. But I'm saying both of them say that it was career civil service.
And it's like, okay, so I mean, and then as far as, so imagine Democrats would threaten to destroy any department that said the word capitalism. And so they decide, well, let's not say capitalism in any reports or markets. And then you conclude, well, it was their free choice to not. I'm saying this is assuming.
No, this is, but Congress hadn't said that. Specifically, right? I mean, there's definitely, and I'm not going to, I agree with you that there is clear signals from substantial parts of the Republican Party that they don't want to hear language that sounds like a pro-choice dialect, and that they, you know, the transgender issue is not exactly popular with the Republican Party. So I agree that those signals are sent. So it's not like these CDC people are just imagining things, but this is an attempt to pander. It's not a request, right? And I'll give you another example. So I had an NSF grant. I wrote my book on it. The title of the grant that I submitted was something like Reggaeton Enters the Mainstream. And then my program officer said, why don't we change that to something like Lessons from the Radio Industry? And, you know, I think what she was getting at is let's not annoy Congress. But you know what? I still wrote the same book that I would have written otherwise. I still did the same research. And actually, ironically enough, her title turned out to be the more accurate title, the more closely reflected my what was actually in the book. Like the actual book has a title very similar to that of the grant.
Still worrisome, though, because how would you do something about like a fetus without calling it a fetus?
Because they're just justifying this is for budget justification at a very high level for the whole agency.
I don't know. I think this would result in self-surveillance, right? Like I would change my research.
You can still do this where you can say like, you know, prenatal or something like that, or, you know, prenatal exposure or exposure to pregnant women, you know, I mean,
or unborn baby.
Yeah, that's what they want. That's what they want. Unborn baby. That's the point.
No, but I'm saying.
I think it's the self-surveillance and auto control on the part of researchers that worries me more, because words are powerful. And once we start calling a fetus something else, it's right.
These are not researchers. These are career administrators. I would agree with you.
No, Gabriel, yeah. I totally get it. Yeah. Right? I totally get it. They're like, dude, like we feel like we're in this environment where we're under attack. They're already talking about cutting funding for us. So let's try not to piss people off. And so let's not use these certain words, right? And just so people are just like, okay, right? You're not trying to piss us off. You're not trying to pander to liberals. Okay, maybe we will rethink cutting this program or thinking that the research that you do is lefty nonsense.
Sure.
I totally get that. But then I also get what Yasmin is saying is that like words have consequences.
Well,
right?
I feel like there's a big difference between, so if this actually had been a style guide that was saying, when you write up your scientific results to send to a journal, don't say these things, then I would be 100% hair on fire, pissed off like everybody else is. But this is just for like writing your, you know, your little letter to Congress saying, you know, renew our budget. And you're not exactly going into details of specific scientific findings in your letter to Congress anyway. So it's like, I feel like this is a mountain out of a molehill.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it is objectively and like substantively different than when the Bush administration basically, you know, sort of put the brakes on language around climate change, right? Because that was actually, that did have to do with official documents, right? Like official research that had come out of government agencies studying climate change. So
I don't know the details of that, but I'll take your word for it.
All I want to say is that the basic facts, as I understand it, is There are senior, there is a senior management at Health and Human Services that are led by political appointees of the Trump administration, and they've issued a directive from on high telling their people that they are to avoid using certain words that I don't see the factual problems with them, and I don't see them as being particularly loaded from my point of view. For example, the words diversity or transgender or science-based, and I wouldn't imagine that there would have to be regulations put out if it were a consensus view or if it were seen as common sense. But there's a ban from on top, and on top is made up of political appointees. And
no, but it's not. You're right about all that except the point about political appointees. If you read the New York Times, you read National Review, they describe it as all being from the career civil service.
Well, let's leave it at that, because I hate fact arguments. You know, that's something that, we'll let people look it up.
But no, where I agree with you is that they are trying to pander to their probably accurate perceptions of what will make Congress happy. Now this other issue of there's certain cliches that they want to avoid. None of us have read, you know, hundreds of pages of CDC documents and rolled our eyes saying, oh, Jesus Christ, evidence-based again. You know, so I don't think any of us are in a position to judge whether these are cliches that should be, you know, circumlocuted. But on these issue of, you know, basically politically loaded words that might piss off Congress, I do think it's accurate to say that the career civil servants are trying to pander to their expectations of what will make Congress happy.
For more, visit us on the web, theannexpodcast.com.